I'm Howard Husick, Vice President at the Manhattan Institute, and I'm joined by Herb London, President Emeritus of the Hudson Institute, for the feature on our Minding the Campus website that we call From the Desk of a Dean, based on Mr. London's long experience as the Dean of the Gallatin College at New York University. In this feature, we look at issues of the day related to higher education from the perspective that a dean might take. And our issue in this session is the horrifying sex abuse scandal at Penn State University involving the assistant football coach, Jerry Sandusky, and allegations of his abusing young boys over a long period of time in the university athletic facilities. Herb, I would like to get some sense of how you feel that upper echelon officials, including the president of Penn State, who recently lost his job, President Graham Spanier, handled this, why they handled it the way they did. And the New York Times recently published a timeline of this scandal, I think it's fair to call it that, in which it becomes clear that as long ago as 2002, the athletic director of Penn State was made aware of the sexual abuse allegations. The athletic director brought them to the vice president for administration and finance and was told the matter would be looked into. How could it be that such a serious allegation would not then be acted upon?
Well, it's a fascinating question, and it strikes me that one of the reasons why the people at Penn State acted in the irresponsible manner that they did is in large part because football is bred in the bone of central Pennsylvania. If you live in that part of the state, you think of the Lions, the Penn State Lions. Joe Paterno is more than a coach. He's a demigod. It is very interesting that when
he's
Spanier,
the former long-time football coach.
When Spanier became president of Penn State, he met with Paterno. There were some members of the board of trustees and alumni who felt that Paterno should probably go. He had already reached his late 70s, early 80s, and people felt it was time for him to move on. So Spanier met with Paterno, and as the story goes, he sat down and he said, "Joe, I think it's time for you to consider retiring." Paterno looked at him and said, "I will decide when I retire, and I will also decide when you retire." Mm. Because Paterno has more influence at Penn State than the president of the university. And football means more to Penn State than almost any other concern. People wanted this whole incident with Jerry Sandusky to disappear. They wanted to ignore it, in large part because they felt this would damage Penn State football and the reputation of the university, which were clearly linked. And so in a very, very significant way, there were people who kept passing the ball, saying, "We'll look into it." Or, you know what the president of the university said? "Make sure that young boys are no longer permitted into the Penn State football locker room." But they never dealt with the issue of Jerry Sandusky and what is clearly a moral crime. And it seems to me that the university has conducted itself in a thoroughly irresponsible manner until recently, when finally the Board of Trustees had to address it. But asked why? Because football is bred in the bone. It is very much a part of life in that part of the state. You go to Penn State, I was at a Penn State football game last year when they played Illinois. 110,000 people are in that stadium.
All right. So then imagine for us, read the mind of the president in that period of time, 2002. You're the president. This comes to you. How do you really think about it, even if you're not saying this is how you think about it?
Well, if I were the president of the university, I would have called the police immediately. But if I were Mr. Spanier, recognizing the fact that I've got an alumni group very much interested in Penn State football, and I've got to understand the role that Joe Paterno plays in this university as more than simply a coach, but a demigod. And I also recognize the fact that Jerry Sandusky, as an assistant coach, was very highly regarded. I would say, let me see how I can make this go away as quickly as possible. Let's get Sandusky out of here. Let's make sure there are no young boys in the locker room, but let's make this disappear. In fact, Spanier's probably saying to himself, no trouble on my watch. I don't want to start any controversy with the alumni and the trustees over this issue.
And so you mention alumni. How powerful would a football alumni group, or really even moving it up a level of abstraction, alumni groups generally as they influence practice in a president's office?
Well, it's a very good question, and I would say in most instances they do not have the kind of influence that they would have at a Penn State. At Penn State, the alumni are critical. At the Penn State game that I went to, that I made reference to before, with 110,000 people in that audience, you had the governor of the state president, you had the candidates who were running for governor president, you had some of the leading business people in Philadelphia, as well as the middle of the state of Pennsylvania present. It was a remarkable contingent of people who had an affiliation of one way or another with Penn State. And they all recognized the fact that being at that game was important. So when you think about football, it's more than football. This has a kind of mythological quality to it. Football goes beyond merely a game. It is very much the essence of what life is like in Middle Pennsylvania.
But clearly there is a money flow.
Money flow is a factor.
State legislative money, because it's a state university, right. Alumni donations, even student enrollment based on a willingness to come to the school because of its football reputation.
And a lot of money, private money, raised for the football program and for other athletic programs at the university, at Penn State. So there's no question that it is a very important part of life at that institution.
Here's my last question. Is there a way, if you had been advising President Spanier, if he had wanted to do the right thing, that he could have preserved his job, saved the university from the scandal, and managed somehow not to alienate the interest groups with whom he had to deal?
Well, I think I would have used the Board of Trustees more effectively at the moment it occurred. I would have said, let me call a special meeting, an emergency meeting of the Board of Trustees. I would have laid out all of the factors. I would have talked about the crime that had occurred. I would have talked about the abuse, the sexual abuse of 10-year-olds and 9-year-olds by Sandusky. I would have gone through the grand jury testimony, and I would have said, this is a matter for the university to address immediately. We cannot simply pass on this issue. I think that would have been the appropriate way to handle it.
Well, we wish you'd had been in that chair at that time, Herb. I'm Howard Husick, Vice President of the Manhattan Institute. I've been joined for our feature on our Minding the Campus website by Herb London, President Emeritus of the Hudson Institute, now a senior fellow here at the Manhattan Institute. We call this From the Desk of a Dean. Thank you, Herb.
Thank you.